Well, after several months, we come to our concluding lesson from 1 Peter, and we come today to chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. With the help of Silas, who I regard as a faithful brother, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, and you can do your own study on who you think he's referring to there. There's a lot of difference of opinion among commentators. Most people think it's maybe the church in Rome, but he's talking about another church. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. I'm going to talk to you today about the essential second fiddle. Someone asked Leonard Bernstein, who was at the time the conductor of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, "Mr. Bernstein, what's the most difficult instrument to play?" And without any hesitation, he said, "Second fiddle." He said, "I can get plenty of first violinists, but to find one who plays second violin with as much enthusiasm, that's a problem. But if no one plays second, we have no harmony." Sometimes you hear about, oh, he's a self-made man or she's a self-made woman. Well, I ran across this statement. There are no self-made people. Everybody has helped somewhere along the line. They can point to a teacher, a coach, a spouse, a friend, a mentor who challenged and inspired and motivated them. I am excited for football season to get back. And often an all-pro quarterback can be traded, maybe because of salary cap issues or whatever, and he's traded to a team that doesn't have a very good offensive line and doesn't have very good receivers, and you don't hear about that quarterback ever again, because it's not just about the quarterback, it's about the supporting cast. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to sports radio on my way into the hospital, and they were talking about an NFL team that 3 years ago had really been on the move up. They were really getting things together, were really doing well. But the last 2 years, they'd fallen off and were not doing well. And the radio host said, "I've talked to several people on that team, and the difference is," and he named a guy's name, who was their assistant coach 3 years ago, but now has taken a head coaching job with another team. And everybody said, him not being here has made the difference. Nobody knew his name, but he was an essential part of that team. And I've read today from 1 Peter 5, the biblical illustration of the essential nature of second fiddles. And I've got to give credit to a sermon I read by Alexander McLaren, who really opened up this concept for me. But the bottom line is this: Silas and Mark, the two men mentioned in these verses, teach us that success is not measured by what we do alone, but it's what we can do together. That's such a critical lesson in the business world, in your own individual lives, in the life of a Christian. Success is not measured by what we can do alone, but by what we can do together. We really need each other. So let's look at these two men. You probably know the name Silas because you know Paul and Silas. It's like "and" is Silas's first name. You know, you never read Silas, you're "and Silas." But here's what we need to know. You go to Acts chapter 15, and you learn a little bit more about this man, Silas. In Acts 15, 22, the King James calls him a chief man at the church at Jerusalem. The NIV calls him a leader in the church at Jerusalem. The significance of that is the church at Jerusalem was headquarters. This is where the early church was centered. It was headquarters. in your line of work, if you belong to an organization that's a part of a corporation, you know what it's like when somebody from headquarters comes down, when somebody from corporate comes down. Silas was that guy from corporate. He was one of the leaders at headquarters. But there was a controversy that developed in the city of Antioch about circumcision, and you can read about that in Acts 15. So the church at Jerusalem sent this leader, Silas, to go down to Antioch to deal with that issue. Paul also happened to be there early after his conversion. And before long, verse 34 of chapter 15, the chief man, the leader from headquarters, is now a satellite to the shining star, Paul. And a few verses later, verse 40 of Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas have their conflict over John Mark, remember that name, and Paul says, Silas, you come with me. And that's where Paul and Silas become together in Acts chapter 15, verse 40. In Acts 16, Silas is in prison at Philippi with Paul, and they're singing praises at midnight. He's with him in Corinth. He's mentioned in 1 and 2 Thessalonians and in 2 Corinthians. Now, he's attached to Peter. So here is Silas, one of the leaders of the headquarters church, helping first Paul and now Peter. First Peter was written probably just shortly after Paul's death. And so Silas, who had been one of the leaders of the church at Jerusalem, has spent the majority of his life playing second fiddle, first to Paul and now to Peter. And there's some lessons to be learned in that. And the first one is the importance of supportive work. You can read through the entire New Testament, you will not find one word that Silas said. He couldn't do Paul's work, but he could share Paul's imprisonment. Now he's with Peter. He couldn't do Peter's work, but most people think he is the one that carried Peter's letter to the church. And so when we say, well, they've got a big work and they've got a small work, that's incorrect. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are the ones that are indispensable. It's been 30, 40 years ago, one of the churches I pastored, there was a man in it that had a transmission shop. And he told me about a guy that brought in his car because it would not go into reverse. And it was a very expensive repair because he had to tear down the transmission and get into the internal workings of the transmission. He said there was a little switch in that transmission that had broken. Back in those days, if I remember correctly, and this doesn't seem like this would ever be correct about an auto part, but it seemed like he told me the part cost him like 79 cents or something. But he said that little switch broke and that car would not go into reverse. Pretty essential piece of equipment. And we need to understand that when a lot of people are working together at a common task, everybody's important. Everybody plays an indispensable role. David taught the children of Israel this lesson in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David is going after his enemies, and some of the soldiers stayed behind. And after the victory was won, and David and the army that went with him are coming back, those soldiers said, those guys that stayed behind, they don't get anything. We're the ones that went down and fought. We get the spoils. They get no share of the spoils. And David made this a law in Israel. The King James translation, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24. As his part that goes down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarries by the stuff, they shall share alike. The Message puts it, the share of the one who stays with the gear is the share of the one who fights. Equal shares. So we have different roles to play. We do have different jobs to do, but it's all part of the same work and will be given the same reward. Silas also teaches us the importance of faithfulness. Even when nobody notices, be faithful. Silas spent years in obscurity. And again, it hit me when I studied his biography. This is one of the corporate leaders. But he spends the majority of his adult life playing second fiddle to the Apostle Paul and then the Apostle Peter. But he is faithful. And the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 4:2, that's our responsibility. Be found faithful. I told you a couple minutes ago, remember the name John Mark, because that's the second man that Peter mentions here. He was probably Barnabas's cousin. And go back to Acts chapter 15. And you remember on the first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas was there, John Mark was with them, and for some reason John Mark left them and went back home. That did not set well with Paul at the time. And when it came time for the second missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas came to a parting of the ways. Paul took Silas, Barnabas took John Mark. And it's just fascinating that in the sovereignty of God, now both Silas and John Mark are with Peter. So you have the division between Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15, and then we don't hear anything from Mark for about 12 years until Paul is in prison in Rome, Colossians chapter 4. And at that point, Paul says, Mark's a comfort to me. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul said, he's helpful to me in my ministry. Now that says something about John Mark. I think it says something about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who is so adamant years earlier, he blew it and I don't want him around. Now, Paul says, he's an encouragement to me. He is helpful to me in my ministry. The ministry that he once abandoned, he is now back with Paul in prison being a minister to him, which lets us know that it's possible to overcome past mistakes. That John Mark, who for whatever reason left Paul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey, has overcome that and is now not ashamed to be at Paul's side in prison. And now after Paul has died, he is with Peter. Be true to Christ, be true to what he's given you, and you will be able to succeed even in the areas of past failures. And Peter calls him my son. Which tells us that there is a greatness in supportive ministry. You never hear of Mark preaching, just like you never hear of Silas preaching. But there is greatness in the role of supportive ministry. Apparently, Mark's job was to look after Paul and then Peter's material needs. And he could have said, well, Timothy gets sent here to pastor, and Apollos is great and eloquent. I'm carrying books around. You remember he said, bring my books. Tell Mark to bring my books to me. But he didn't do that because he understood the greatness that is involved in supportive ministry. There are all sorts of work that contribute to the same goal. They are all really one work, and we need to understand that. Remember Paul using the illustration of the person that plants the seed, the person that waters the seed, the person that harvests the seed. It's all one work. I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, using human terminology, a lot of pastors and worship leaders and things will be standing in line behind nursery workers waiting to get their reward. Because I'm convinced, I've seen it happen, Church looks a whole lot different from the front of the room than it does from the back of the room. And I've been in services where God was moving and you could tell people were thinking and they were making on the verge of making a decision for Christ. And all of a sudden a baby starts crying or a toddler starts banging on the floor or something. And you can just look out over the crowd and say, oh, you just might as well go home. You know, it's over. But those nursery workers, those children's church workers who made it possible for parents to sit in a church and hear the word without distraction, without worry, those men and women are going to have a part of every decision that was made for Christ, every marriage that was healed, every positive thing that happened in a person's spiritual growth. They have a role in that because without them, it might not have happened. And we need to understand the importance and the greatness of that supportive ministry. Somebody asked the question, who flew the kite? The paper said, I did. The string said, I did. The tail said, I did. The wind said, huh, I did. And the little boy said, oh no, I did. But if you've ever tried to fly a kite, it takes it all. And the work of God takes all of us together, which leads me to say that faithfulness in smaller things, and it's important that I make that note, as we view smaller things, leads to enlarged ministry. This John Mark was the man who wrote the Gospel of Mark. His faithfulness in serving Peter and serving Paul led him to an enlarged ministry. So as we're faithful behind the scenes, as we're faithful in doing what God has put us here to do, then often he gives us opportunities to do more and other things. Luke 16, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. Whoever's dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. And Matthew says, Matthew 25, at the judgment when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. What a blessing it will be when God says to us, well done, you were helpful in the ministry. So if you think nobody notices what you do, if you think what you do for the church, what you do for Christ is insignificant, please learn from Silas and John Mark. There is greatness in supportive work. The importance is be faithful. Do what God has called us to do. Because God said, remember Jesus said, a cup of cold water in my name will have its reward. So stay true, stay faithful, don't get discouraged. Keep doing what you do so that the work can go. I have been blessed through my ministry of people who would clean the church so that that was one less thing to worry about. Those of you who are watching online are watching online because of the ministry of a person many of you don't even know who is faithful in doing that. All of us working together to do God's work will each have their reward. It's all the same work. Be encouraged to stay faithful. As I was thinking about that and how I wanted to close our time this morning, I remembered an old song by Steve Green called Find Us Faithful. There'll be a link in the comment description section where you can find it. Steve Green, Find Us Faithful. And he talks about the fact there are those who've gone before that have set the example for us. Now it's our responsibility to set the example for those who are coming to be faithful to the work of God. Steve Green, Find Us Faithful. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine on you and give you his peace now and evermore. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here today. You're dismissed.